This is I'm Listening, presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health and Choices NH Addiction Recovery Services. Riverbend wants you to know the treatment works. More information, check out riverbendcmhc.org. Appreciate you joining us for the show. I am Chris Reinoff, Paul Quintanamo. We're inside the Concord Photo Service Main Street studio. We're going to talk about a very important issue this time of year, and one that has been in the news a lot as of late. That's homelessness here on this edition of I'm Listening, as Ellen Groh will join us from the Concord Coalition to end homelessness. And of course, the situation in Manchester has gotten a lot of attention across the state, and you know, homelessness is an issue here in Concord as well. But it seems that there is more collaboration between state, city, and the officials that are doing the work on the ground here in Concord as compared to Manchester. So we'll talk a little about that on the program here today, but some of the main issues surrounding homelessness as well. So welcome in Paul Quintanamo. Paul, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Good. Appreciate joining us. And it's always good to talk to Ellen about the work that the Concord Coalition to End Homelessness is doing. This is an integral part of our community and something that I have cared about a lot, really, since I started at WKXL. And remember the mayor and Lori Dale from who was then at the McKenna House. You know, we're working to try to find shelter for homeless families in the city of Concord, looking at different locations for that. And you know, certainly we have seen a lot of work that has been done and a lot of progress that's been made. But to the issue of affordable housing and getting individuals into homes, that remains, you know, a crucial hurdle that still needs to be crossed.
Yeah, and then you're dealing with, of course, the pandemic, with which now you're looking at having to deal with social distancing within shelters and such. It gets a difficult, or makes a difficult problem, just tumultuous. It's always sad when I'm commuting to work and you look to the right and to the left on the highway and you start to see the tents come up in September, October, knowing how bad the winter could be. And it's a problem that has to be faced. It's a problem that has to be taken care of, because especially now, like I said, with the pandemic and people losing their jobs, people being evicted, I think this year is going to probably be the one of the most challenging that they've run into.
Oh, there's no question. And yeah, I mean, that's the evictions, according to Mayor Boulle and others. That situation has just started to reach the crest of the iceberg. It is going to get much, much worse moving forward. So yeah, I think that's going to be a big issue. And you know, as you mentioned, it always is this year. And you know, you look across, the river to the east or to the west, and very often you will find those tents, and you'll find, everything that goes along with being homeless. And, you know, this is a problem that in Concord is not just one that is hidden in the shadows, but very often is right in front of us. And we'll talk with Ellen Groh in just a moment here on the program. This is I'm Listening, presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health and Choices NH Addiction Recovery Services. Riverbend wants you to know that treatment works. Welcome back. We're joined on the program right now by Ellen Groh. She is the executive director of the Concord Coalition to End Homelessness. I am Chris Reinwald, Paul Quintanamo, inside the Concord Photo Service Main Street studio. In this segment of the show, brought to you by Riverbend Community Mental Health and Choices NH Addiction Recovery Services. Riverbend wants you to know that treatment works. Ellen, how are you?
Very good. How are you?
Good. Appreciate joining us for the show. And of course, homelessness has been in the news a lot over the last week or so with what's taking place in Manchester, and obviously that's outside of your purview, but I'm sure something that you've followed, you know, very closely. And what have been your thoughts and feelings on watching what's taken place down there. And have you run into any issues similar to what is taking place down in Manchester and Concord?
So first, thank you for having me on the show, and we just have such a great relationship with River Bend, and so I'm so glad to be here on talking about this, because the issues of mental health and substance use disorder are often really intertwined with homelessness. Not always, but often. So, I would say that that things are being exacerbated right now by COVID and revealed by COVID, but these conditions have existed for a long time. So we do have encampments in the Concord area, like in Manchester. They're just not in the middle of downtown, like in Manchester. But just recently, a couple of the encampments out in the on the outskirts of town have received notice from the state police that they need to pack up and move on. So we're experiencing the same thing on a just slightly different scale and unfolding differently in the Concord area than in Manchester. And it is an issue if people don't have a place to go. What are they supposed to do? Just move along and find another spot. It doesn't really solve the problem.
That's a really key point. And I can certainly understand the rationale behind not having a homeless encampment on the courthouse lawn. I mean, that's something that makes sense to me, and I think makes sense to most New Hampshire residents. But the aspect of moving people along from an unoccupied property that nobody sees, when it's, you know, state property or city property, I don't quite understand the rationale behind that. So kind of take us through some of the the decisions in your view that take place in regards to homelessness. But obviously, you know, as Paul was mentioning earlier, we'll see encampments on, you know, or near railroad tracks in and around the city. And obviously for safety reasons, those railroad is very rarely used at this point in time, but you can understand, you know, the rationale behind that as well. But what is the negotiation like? What is the behind the scenes of why all of a sudden the state police will come out or, you know, the city will say, okay, it's time for these folks to leave where they are?
Well, I will say the city in general just responds, the city of Concord just responds if there is a complaint from a private owner, landowner, saying somebody is encamping, you know, there's an encampment on my property and I want you to tell them to move along. So that's when they will step in. And also the city has, I don't know if you already spoke about this before I got on, the city has a Project FIRST going on with the city's fire department, and Jeff Stewart is the director of that program, which is focused on going out to encampments and seeking out people with substance use disorder and trying to get them into services. So Jeff has a wonderful relationship with the people living in the various encampments. He knows where almost everybody is living and has a great working relationship with folks. So so the city generally is letting people be if they are on city property in the outskirts, especially during this pandemic, because making people move during the pandemic is just sort of shifting relationships, you know, potentially spreading the COVID virus further as people, you know, join up with other people that they hadn't been around before. The state, I'm not certain what triggers a decision to have people move on. I think it might be in combination with the railroad owners that they are legitimately concerned about people being near the tracks. Someone was killed a few years back on the tracks. So there is a legitimate safety concern there. But I think we need to be looking at the bigger picture,
right,
and the bigger picture of solving homelessness, because this is just revealing and somewhat exacerbating issues for people who are homeless. But we need to be focused on housing solutions for people, permanent housing. I think this has just revealed how health and housing are so intimately related, and that this is really a public health crisis, that people don't have a place to be safe during this pandemic. Don't have a place to socially isolate.
Now, have you seen, and I know that, well, actually, I know that you have seen an uptick because of, we were talking earlier of evictions and things like that. I mean, mm-hmm. Percentage-wise, are you seeing a lot more people requesting help? And how difficult is it going to be during this pandemic as far as shelters go and their capacities having to be reduced?
Well, that is a big issue as well. Right now, there is an eviction moratorium from the CDC, which is going to end at the end of December. And unfortunately, I mean, this puts landlords in a bind as well. It doesn't. It's helping that people cannot be evicted right now. But it doesn't help if a landlord also needs to have that rental income so
right.
that they can pay their mortgage. So we don't want to, you know, put all this on the shoulders of landlords either. But there is, unless Congress passes another relief act, there's going to be a wave of people in January who owe back rent because they've been out of work. And they can now be evicted. So Congress really needs to address that on a national scale.
And that's going to be sorry to interrupt, Ellen, but that's going to be across the board as well. It's not just going to be individuals that are struggling from paycheck paycheck outwardly and are working entry level positions. It's going to be individuals that are working have been difficulty finding work in the gig economy. As well,
right.
There's also going to be a significant issue in regards to foreclosures. The census indicated that there's going to be thousands of individuals in New Hampshire and millions across the country who are going to lose their homes in the next few months as a result of what has taken place. So this is a issue of homelessness and insecurity in regards to your dwelling that really crosses the board and is not just the population that serve on a regular basis, but there's going to be new individuals who are going to be homeless as a result of what is taking place, and certainly many of those will have the opportunity to to go home and live with their parents or to live with somebody else or change their living environment. But it's going to be a pain that is felt really across the board.
It is, and I'm hopeful that the new administration, something will be able to get passed on that, again, on that national scale to help people who have been so hard hit by the loss of their job due to the pandemic. You were asking about the shelter capacity, and yes, to be able to follow the CDC guidelines, for instance, in our winter shelter, which is opening tonight. We used to have a capacity of 40, but to spread the beds out in the way that we are supposed to, we have to drop that capacity to 20. Now, fortunately for us, we are on the edge of purchasing a building using the CARES Act funding that would let us get back up to that 40-bed capacity, and then down the road when the pandemic is over and we can go back to our usual shelter building, we could turn that into affordable housing with some units set aside for people who are coming from homelessness. So that's a way to, I think of that as a way to make lemonade out of the lemons of COVID and move forward. Use this funding that's out there right now to take a step forward on the big picture of more permanent housing for people.
Now, we've talked on other shows about how the pandemic has really revealed or shined a light on mental health issues, that it's not just hidden in the shadows now, that there's a lot of people going through that. Do you feel that this pandemic is actually shining a light on homelessness now, like Chris was saying, that it's being spread out to more than just what we would consider, and I quote unquote, the person that you would consider typical as far as suffering from homelessness, but now it's stretching across a much wider, or it could potentially stretch across a much wider range of people.
Yes, absolutely. And it's brought so much national and local, state, local, everything, attention to the issue, which I think is great. I mean, that is really one of the positive things that has come out of this really devastating pandemic, is that it is shining a light on that. And right now, you probably maybe spoke about this already, but the governor is kind of revamping or revitalizing what used to be the Interagency Council on Homelessness. That's been dissolved, and now he has created a Council on Housing Stability. So even the shift in focus, I think, is great. That let's aim towards housing. let's make that be the focus. And he's added quite a few members to that committee. They're just starting right now, and Concord's Mayor Boulay is going to be serving on that, along with a couple other mayors and the heads of several different departments at the state level, as well as homeless service providers and some people with lived experience of homelessness. So I'm really hopeful that some great things can come out of that revitalized committee that will move us forward, that this is a moment in time that we can really use to take a giant leap and shift our approach on dealing with this issue.
I am also hopeful in regards to that in many different realms that this experience can, you know, reshape our thinking and kind of establish some of our core value, reestablish some of our core values as a community and as a people. That's Ellen Groh. She is the executive director of the Concord Coalition to End Homelessness, joining us here on I'm Listening, and it's presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health, our segment of the program. And appreciate joining us for the show. We're inside the Concord Photo Service Main Street studio. I do want to get back to the Manchester situation for a second, because, you know, to me that indicated some of the worst aspects of how our government functions at times and our politics dissolves into name calling and blaming and things of that nature. And, you know, you have the fire chief calling the governor a liar, and it was a really horrible circumstance where I thought that, you know, it's the worst possible scenario, because you have individuals who are homeless, whose possessions are being, you know, picked up and put into trash bags at a park, and they're pointing fingers. Then you have the investor, Ben Gamache, I believe is his name, who purchases the property they were going to use to house these individuals. So it
was a little disheartening.
Right. Yeah. So in your view, talk about, you know, successful collaboration with government and unsuccessful collaboration with government, and how, you know, the Manchester scenario can serve as a, you know, a model for kind of how not to do things, and how perhaps your relationship with Concord has been different. You know, one of the things that I heard that was disheartening as well from people in Manchester is they're saying, well, you know, a lot of these people aren't even from here. They're from Bedford. They're from Goffstown. And they're coming here to Manchester and use our services. So I thought that a lot of it was very, very disheartening.
Yeah, and I, you know, I'm not from Manchester, and I don't want to be in the position of me pointing fingers at the people who are pointing fingers, but I do feel like pointing fingers is just not helpful in general, and it was disheartening to see that occurring, and so I don't know the dynamics of I'm sure there's a lot of history there that I'm not tuned into, but I would say that here in Concord, I think Mayor Boulay is wholeheartedly invested in this issue, and we've been talking to him on a regular basis about what are we going to do for shelter decompression, what are we going to do about the issue in general. So I think there are some models out there. We've been fortunate here in Concord to have Roseanne Haggerty living in town for a while, and she is the head of Community Solutions, which is a nationwide nonprofit that helps communities attack this issue. And they've helped four different communities reach what we call functional zero, which is where nobody is chronically homeless. All of the chronically homeless people have been found permanent supportive housing, and they have a system in place where when someone becomes homeless, there's a team that swoops in and they get that person rehoused, as you know, within a couple of months. And that homelessness is prevented whenever possible. That's really, you know, where you need to put your focus at that point is stopping people from ever entering the homeless system. So we've been making use of her expertise while she's here. And the key is having all of these agencies have a shared commitment and a belief that it's actually possible to end homelessness and setting, you know, milestones and goals to get there. But working together. So we're trying to make that happen in Concord. It is hard. Each agency, each entity has their own particular mission and all their struggles, and we're all running as fast as we can all day long. But I'm hoping that we can all pick our heads up to have this shared commitment to actually ending homelessness. I honestly believe we can get there if we have that shared commitment and a belief that it's possible.
Now, I know that in the past there's been a, a, a pretty long waiting list as far as finding someone permanent housing. How much more permanent housing do you feel that we need in, like, just in the Concord area? And how do we come about getting that put together? I mean, is it a collaboration between private and public? How can we make this happen?
That's a great question, and we're trying to get our arms around what is that actual number. And I know people sometimes feel like, yes, in general we need that, but I don't really want that in my neighborhood.
Right.
we have to really educate people. People are going to move into our new apartments on Green Street at the end of the week, and I'm hoping that this really becomes a model that people walk by and say, well, this is just a beautiful apartment. There's nothing different about that than the rest of the apartments on this street, and that some of that NIMBY can be eased, some of that fear. I think it's all just fear of the unknown and fear of stereotypes, and so I'm hoping that some of that fear can be eased. I think, so we're trying to get our arms around what is that actual number. We're working with, as I said, Roseanne Haggerty to try and have an accurate by-name list of everybody who is chronically homeless in the Concord area and get our arms around what's the specific solution for each one of those people given their circumstances and how much new housing do we need. I do believe we absolutely need more affordable housing to be created in the Concord area, as well as engaging more landlords to be willing to rent to someone who doesn't have a super duper rental history, but maybe doesn't have any rental history for the last 5 or 10 years. But so engaging more private landlords to be part of this solution and creating more housing and partnering with Catch Housing, Concord Housing and Redevelopment, and any other developers who want to jump into this.
I think that this is a tremendous opportunity for individuals across the board here in Concord, because we're seeing a change in the way the commercial real estate is going to be utilized. And working with the city, working with the Concord Coalition and Homelessness to flip some of that property and to figure out ways to put in affordable housing, short-term or long-term housing, and utilize this opportunity to do the right thing and to also, perhaps make some money in a place, in a space that you're not going to make any money moving
right.
forward with the changes
right.
that exist. I mean, commercial real estate outside of the immediate downtown area, it's going to, and those prices are going to drop as well. It's going to be very difficult to sell that moving forward. So with the change in, again, talking about the changes as a result of COVID, with those changes, it would seem to me to make a lot of sense to figure out as a city, as an entity, yours, and amongst those landlords and people that own that space, to figure out how to make it easier for them to make that switch.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And kind of again, having that eye to the bigger picture of a mix of housing around.
Mm-hmm.
Around the community, all mixed income, all side by side,
Yep.
Just one community.
Yep, that would be awesome. Alan, as always, appreciate joining us for the show. Appreciate your time, appreciate your work, your organization, and I look forward to talking again soon.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you, Paul, for all of the work that Riverbend is doing. We're really fortunate to have Riverbend in our community. Thank you, Chris.
I appreciate it. That is Ellen Groh joining us here on the program from the Concord Coalition and Homelessness. She is their executive director. And this segment presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health and Choices NH, Addiction Recovery Services. Riverbend wants you to know that treatment works.